Welcome everyone to Deeper Conversations Coaching. We are in week 7. I'm Julie Kazmariou. Welcome to all of you who are here live and to those who will be listening to the recording. Thank you for taking this time to be with us and with each other. Today, we're talking about competency number 7, evokes awareness. So if you can have your materials ready and handy so we can dive in. Competencies, markers, class agreements, and allow yourself to arrive and orient to this time together. And is there somebody who would like to offer a moment to connect, to let go of the previous moment so that we can enter into the next? Oh, we've got a full house today. Anne is outside, bringing the outside in. Thank you for that. Welcome. Welcome, Anne. Welcome, Paulina. We're just taking this moment now to do a connection. So if somebody wants to just offer some deep breaths, a moment to ground and center. If not, that's perfectly fine. Okay. So, I mean, I didn't give you much time to volunteer, but is there somebody who wants to, I was like, I'll just do it. Is there somebody feeling like they want to offer a space of connection for a minute, 30 seconds? So, why don't we just take a moment if you can, and you feel like you want to close your eyes. I know I mentioned this previously, and then I heard one of you mention it too. Like when we close our eyes, we tune out 80% of the distractions, visual stimulation. And so what happens even now, as you notice, when you close your eyes, are you invited to turn inward? Today, we're going to be talking about evoking awareness. So if you could just close your eyes and just notice what happens when you close your eyes, where does your attention go? What if you bring your attention all the way down to your feet and your toes? Do you then begin to develop curiosity, further awareness, attention to what's happening in your feet, your toes? Maybe you're inclined to move them as you bring attention. So what happens when you have this focus or this attention to a specific place? What then gets activated or inspired? Or do you become curious about? And maybe just notice your breath as it enters into your body and then as it leaves on the exhalation, relaxing your shoulders. Just know that you're marking this moment to be together with awareness. So thank you for taking this intentional time. When you're ready to open your eyes and join the call again, thank you for doing that. And is there somebody who would like to read the class agreements? Okay. Yes? Okay. Go ahead, Christine.
Right. 7 class agreements. 1, confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. 2, positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. 3, hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. 4, presence. We agree to be fully present to class without distraction or multitasking. 5, beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. 6, self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. 7, coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgements are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Everybody's in agreement. Thank you. Welcome, Alyssa. Nice to see you. Maybe I just want to go around and invite you to share one word or two words about your state of being right now and what you're bringing into the group together.
I'll go first. Community is my word. And I am in direct contact with my ICF brothers and sisters in Russia and Ukraine. And that's heavily on my mind.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I've worked in and with the Russian ICF before. And so it's very close.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that and for your work.
I'll go.
Okay.
I'm tired and grateful.
Hey. Thank you for letting that be known.
I'm appreciating nature.
Thank you. I'm appreciating seeing your nature.
Bald Eagle just went by a little bit ago, so it was really cool.
Wow.
I was afraid he was going to eat. The geese have had some babies, and I thought he was going to go after him, but they dealt with it.
Cool. Well, and we could see your reflection, right? Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Nice. Maybe we'll get some animal wildlife activity through your... Sorry, Monica, you wanted to go?
Christine, go.
No, go for it. Go for it, Monica.
Relaxed and tired.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Welcome. Christine?
Thank you.
Christine H.
Okay, awake and ready to go. Once I'm up, I'm fine.
For those who didn't hear the time for Christine, it's quite early in New Zealand right now, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I am also tired. It has been a long several days, and the weather is sort of crummy today. And it gives you that feeling of just staying in your pajamas on the couch when you really can't do that. There's other things to do. And then connection. That is a word that's on alert for me. I did an ethics training on Saturday, and it, you know, definitely piqued some interest in certain ways. And I'm curious how it might come up today.
Great. Thank you for bringing that, Alyssa. And who would like to go next? One or two words? Christine R?
Obviously, mine's going to be recovery because I'm deep inside my recovery. So, but I'm glad to be with you ladies today.
Christine was sharing for those who arrived after her share that she's getting over and through a cold. So she may not be speaking as much. Suzanne, well, it's midnight for you, right?
Past midnight, yes.
Past midnight now.
But I'm happy that I'm not as sleepy as I thought I'd be because I was up very early. I'm glad I don't have training this week. But my training will start on Wednesday, and not this week, but these 2 days. Because if I were to do a training, let's say in the morning at 9, I have to get up at about 7. So there's no way I can finish this session at about 1:30, go to bed at about 2:30 and wake up at 7. So likely I won't be able to attend all the Wednesdays, but I would, because you know, Monday is the start, and then I should be able to do the usual Monday sessions. So I'm happy I can be here.
Great. I'm happy you can be here too. Thank you. I do want to remind, I know you haven't all shared yet, but Jamie was reminding me to let you know if you want to be a part of the contact list. So have your email shared with everyone in the group to send Sherry and Jamie a message with your consent and your email address that you want shared to the email address info@deeperconversations.com. Is that the email address? I can get it for you, but I think you all have it. It's the email that you receive, just to respond to that.
Can we just put it in the chat, like, yes?
Well, they want an email from you. Yeah. So if you just reply to the reminder with, yes, you can include my email. Here it is. Thank you. I know it's an extra step. Sally, do you want to share? I think we haven't heard from you yet about the word or comment.
Or sure. Yeah, after a busy, hectic weekend, tired also.
Tired. Thank you for letting us know. And also, you know, interesting. So you've brought where you are, and maybe even just to reflect to yourself, like, how do you want to feel by the end of our time together? And maybe write that word down. Maybe you don't know, but like, what would be a great benefit to meeting today? How might that contribute to or alter your state of being or feeling? Maybe you want to share that at the end. So this is week 7, and next week we have facilitating client growth, competency 8, and then Wednesday will be the final session. It's already, oh my goodness. So it's just been such a pleasure being with you, and I'm not ending the session today, but just notice, reflecting on the fact that we're coming close to the end. And today we're going to be delving into evoking awareness. So if you have that competency on hand, the definition is facilitates client insight and learning by using tools and techniques such as powerful questioning, silence, metaphor, or analogy. It's a juicy one. And last week we talked about active listening, listens actively. I also would like to choose right now 2 people who will be here on Wednesday for the practicum. So someone who hasn't yet been a coach and also a client. Are there any volunteers for those who know will be here on Wednesday that would like to coach? Who will be here on Wednesday from as far as you can tell? Paulina, Diana, Monica.
I should be. My concern is always if I'm late because I have 11 o'clock clients. And
like, you were last Wednesday, you arrived maybe a few minutes late. Like, would it be that kind of deal?
I believe so. Usually no more than, 10 minutes or so.
Okay. I mean, if you feel like I know you haven't coached yet, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you would like to, that would be fine. And you want the opportunity to experience?
Sure.
Okay. So you'd like to coach?
Sure.
Okay. I know it's like, feels like stretching the comfort zone, but we have your back, and this will be a safe place, and it'll be an honor to hear you coach. And yeah, thank you. So, okay. So Alyssa will be coach, and who would like to be a client who will be here on Wednesday? You will be with me. I will be here on Wednesday. So Paulina, Diana.
So I just did it.
Yeah, you just did it.
Did it last Wednesday.
You were the client.
I was the
coach.
I was the client.
You were the client. Yeah, Monica was the coach. I mean, I was there for that. So that was beautiful. Okay, so who will be here again on Wednesday? Paulina, Diana, Monica, potentially Anne. And is anybody wanting to be coached?
I'll be the client.
You want to be the client? Okay.
I don't want to be if someone else really wants to be, but I will be.
Diane, I saw you unmute. Did you want to be cliented?
Well, I'm happy to. And I've also been a coach and a client. So if there aren't any other folks.
Well, if you would like to be, and Monica is not so crazy about it, but she was offering out of the graciousness of her heart, I would say, Monica, what's comfortable for you?
Because I haven't done it, I should probably get it out of the way.
To be client?
Okay. I should say I did it.
Okay. Thank you, Diana, for stepping up. And Monica, you'll be coached by Alyssa. Great. Thank you. All right. Any questions, reflections since we spoke last that you wanted to share or inquire about? Is everybody breathing right now? It's like you could feel like we're all holding our breath.
I can check in and just say that the coaching that Monica did with me has stayed for the week and grown. So I'm very grateful for that. And I find myself settling, which is great.
Nice. Yeah, glad to hear that. Great. Thank you. So why don't we move into evoking awareness and start with talking about, you know, imagining a Venn diagram. And so the coach is one circle and the client is the other circle. And I'm just going to draw it out for you. Not that you can't visualize it, but coach, client. So the third, this part right here is the overlap, is where awareness is created. And this is like where the coaching happens. So it's almost like third entity. Some people describe it as like two entities coming together. And then what's created is this third entity between that emerges from the coach and the client. So the coach and the client each bring their own awareness, and where they overlap, there's a new awareness shared. There's a new awareness that emerges. And so how does that happen? That's the question that I'm asking.
So the thing that comes to mind for me is that in every relationship, there's a you, a me, and a we. Mm. And so I would think of that intersection as the we. And with regard to awareness, I think it's a collaboration, whether it's spoken or not spoken, that creates that. Like, this is the partnership, right? Can't have shared awareness without the partnership. And I don't know what magic happens there, but it's the place of magic.
Yeah.
That happens for me.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. I love the we. I've heard Daniel Siegel, maybe you've heard him say the MWE, M-W-E.
That's good.
A new word. It's where the magic happens. What is that magic, that awareness piece? How do we get that? How does that happen? Or what happens? You can even imagine yourself in the situation of either client or coach, but like being coached, you know, when you have that awareness.
It feels for me like I'm wide open to being my most vulnerable version of myself and being authentic and remembering that I'm there to coach, but at the same time, I'm bringing a kind of truth to that moment that opens my client up to a similar way of feeling and being. I think the important part for me, it's a way of feeling as well as being. Mm. And I love that.
Hmm. Yeah, thank you. Christine?
I think for me, this seven is kind of like the riverbanks, and one bank is that whole creating trust and awareness, trust and safety, and the other riverbank is presence.
And so if I can hold those two banks together, hopefully what flows down the middle is awareness. I often think of it like that. So for me, making sure that that trust and safety is built, that I am present, fully present and available, and then awareness flows. So that's just beautiful. My...
I love that metaphor or analogy, which is appropriate for this topic, right? Evokes awareness, which is inviting us to use metaphor to evoke awareness. And you just did that. So thank you.
And can I ask the question of Christine? Christine, so I'm sorry, you had your hands out, right? So you were just making a distinction. So I got the trust and safety, but I couldn't make out what the other one was. Can you say that again,
please? Maintaining presence. Presence.
Maintaining presence.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's to the point where all the competencies build on each other. So now that, like, we just covered listens actively, in order to evoke awareness, we need to be listening, right? And have that presence. To have the presence, we've also cultivated the trust and safety. We're also have had set the agreements, and we have the coaching mindset, doing our work, taking care of our own state of being, being open, curious. And so finally, and now it's evoking awareness. And with the evoking awareness, we can then help the client in competency 8 facilitate their own growth. And so they all build on each other. And so, yeah, thank you, Christine, for bringing that up. Anyone else want to speak to this? There's so many places to go around this topic of awareness.
I was just looking at the 1 through 8 on the evokes awareness.
Yes.
11. Just riffing on this conversation, it says evokes awareness, which means we're doing something for the client. We evoke awareness in the client. But if we kind of rebuild that and say it evokes awareness in us, I think that that's what Christine was kind of getting at there, that there's two tracks going on at the same time.
As the coach, you're saying that your awareness is also evoked. Mm-hmm.
Of what I am right now, who I am right now, are my feet on the floor, am I grounded? Mm-hmm. The whole audit of oneself to contribute to that. You know, the term I've come to use is field, in the field between us.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a philosophical thing, but it works for me.
Mm-hmm. It's like this field is emerging, creating. How would you describe it for you?
Well, we can go back to dropping all expectations, just being in flow of being present to what's organically trying to happen and not pushing. In my former career, pushing was an art form. Yeah. It's taken me all this 25 years to tamp it down. Still there, I can use it when I want.
Mm-hmm. But you, if anyone, would know exactly when you're in it and when you're not, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Powerful, thank you.
Thank you.
In the old competencies, which these competencies have been updated, it's been a couple of years, but there were 11 competencies, now there are 8, but it used to be called creating awareness. And now that they have added, there was direct communication and creating awareness, and now they've merged them into evokes awareness, deliberately changing, not creating awareness. And within the evoking awareness, there is direct communication, there is powerful questioning, and also silence. Creating silence, or not creating silence, but allowing for silence. And so we know that powerful questions are, you know, a cornerstone to evoking awareness. I mean, coaching is, a lot of the people, they default to the questioning, which doesn't, it's not only about questions, right? In evoking awareness, Like, we don't want to be thinking about what's the next question, because then we've also like moved out of presence. And then, you know, that detracts from the experience, this, the way Diana talked about a field, this awareness that's being created, what's emerging. But what makes a question powerful?
Well, I think it's powerful if it gets the client to think differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I notice a pause after a powerful question,
mm-hmm.
and entertain that pause, welcome it, that's something.
Mm-hmm. It's like clear indicator, you know, like the light on the indicator is like bing, 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 green. You know, when there's a pause, you're like, okay, you know, that just landed where it needed to land.
Yes.
What makes a question powerful?
Well, it takes them where they haven't been before.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they hired us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think some of the response is yet again in the new ICF definitions that under mm-hmm. evokes awareness, the you can just simply look at these and say, this is what makes a powerful question. Challenges the client as a way, ask questions that help the client explore beyond current thinking. That's what you just said, Anne. I mean, it's really sometimes fun for me to go, oh, the answer's right here. And
yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a trick question. The no. answers are right here. Yeah. And it's funny, when I read the competencies, it's like I'm literally seeing them for the first time each time I read them. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's right there. I didn't see that, you know? And each time I look at it, I get something different.
Mm.
So thank you for bringing us back to look at what is it that makes a question powerful? And you said challenges the client as a way to evoke awareness or insight. Are your questions challenging? Do you ask challenging questions? Are you comfortable with that? Is that powerful to you? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to challenge your client? Do you like being challenged? I'm stacking like a million questions right here, right now, which whatever one you want to answer, you know, it's good.
I think challenging has to be used appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
The timing of challenging is key in my experience.
Yeah, if they're not ready for it, it could go south,
mm-hmm.
or just nowhere. It, you know, it just freeze.
Mm-hmm. Even the word challenge, for some people, it might excite them, and for others, it might, you know, throw them off. As a coach, for example, if you see that you have to challenge your client, you know, we all have a different relationship with the word challenge, is what I'm saying.
So if I can share, I have a new client who is very direct, New Yorker, and that works, directness works with her because that's her style, right? It's like, let's just get to the bone. Don't need any of this other stuff, right? Just boom, boom, boom. And then I have a client who's, you know, been through a great deal of trauma, and I have to be far more gentle with her, right? It's kind of indirect. It's asking questions to bring her out to see if I can get her to, you know, ask a question or see some, you know, I mean, it's just different with every client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm hearing your sensitivity to your client, and like Monica saying, when used appropriately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Can challenge be gentle? You know, like one of you said, you didn't use the word the disrupt, but said we're getting, I think Paulina said, we're getting our client to think differently. And so that might even be challenge. We're challenging them to think differently. It's not because we're out to get them, you know, we're there to support them and help them or evoke a way of seeing that they haven't been seeing, that we don't necessarily know is what is right for them or what they need, or we don't, in fact, but given coaches use their intuition, their skills of listening and presence, that inspires, that can inspire a question that can challenge the disruption of a thought, a belief. You know, when we ask if there's a, is there a certain belief around there that, that, you know, that is keeping you here? Maybe you see that as a challenge, maybe you don't, but it's interesting. We can even just interpret, what does it mean to challenge? We have permission here from the ICF.
You know, I don't want to dominate the conversation, but if it comes to me, it feels like I am.
You're not dominating the conversation. You're contributing to it. Thank you.
All right. So
take the space.
Ask the question again.
Which one of 20?
Oh, the last one.
Well, which, what did you, so what were you wanting to respond to? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think about what, you know, it came in my mind. And then of course, once I started to talk, because it wasn't landed, I forgot. So
challenging, limiting, like core, like I was talking about beliefs.
So it was, okay. It's gone.
Okay.
It'll come back.
Okay. Yeah. Suzanne.
I remember it was, in the class during the, you know, ICF training, and then we had practices, and the instructor taught us to challenge the client by saying this phrase. It's like, okay, I know how to reach my goal. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in getting to the goal? You know, so if the client says, oh, about 6, and then you pushed and say, what would bring that to a 10? Yeah. And then in another practice, this coach actually asked, what would bring that to an 8? From, let's say, 6 to 8, you know, or I think it was 6 to 8. And I was wondering why 8 and not 10. So I asked the question, why not push for a 10? Why push for an 8, you know? And the coach says, oh, I don't want to push her too hard. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's where the challenge is, isn't it? Yeah. And I suppose it's up to the discretion of the coach to see if you can actually push the client to an 8 or to a 10.
Mm.
You have to know the client very well, I suppose.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
If I can make
that.
$1 million, why make a million? Why ask for 500K when you can push for a million?
What if you brought it back to your client and said, what do you want? If you're at a 6, where would you like it to be? Mm-hmm. Is that challenging?
Mm-hmm. I suppose so. If let's say you say your question is on a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
10 being, let's say, a million.
Yeah.
So why would you want the client to go just to 800K when you can go to a million?
Doesn't it depend on, well, what does anybody else think here?
Yeah.
Or how do you want to respond to that?
So you're challenging the client only from, let's say, from going from 500 to, you know, 800. So I don't know. My question is that a challenge at all?
Mm. I think you can phrase it in a way that covers it all. Like, okay, so now you're at a 6. So you know what a six is. I'm wondering what it might take to get you to a 10. What do you think that might be? And then if their face goes funny on you, or, you know, or you, there's a long pause or something, then you can say, okay, instead of going to a 10, what if you just took it to an 8? What would that be? So you're letting yourself kind of swim with them to see what's comfortable. And then after they're, well, with an 8, I can do this, this, and this. And then after they're comfortable with that, you're like, okay, so what if we just threw in a little bit more? What then would it be to get you to a 10?
So I would consider your last question a challenge, because that's when, you know, she's comfortable and you're pushing her a little bit outside her comfort zone. Yeah, yeah, then that would be what I will call challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that answers my question.
Thank you for raising it. So let's do a little exercise, which doesn't involve you getting up, but just does involve having a piece of paper and a pen, unless you want to note it on your computer. And I'd love you to just take a moment and write down something that's current for you in your life. A situation, an experience, something maybe you recently got coached on, or just something that's current, top of mind.
So an issue, or I'm just
something more. Yeah, whatever gets evoked by whatever I just said, like, oh yeah, that thing, or this relationship that's up, or this question I'm wondering about. But it's a situation, something could be perplexing, it could be unresolved, it could be And does everybody feel complete? So now I'm going to invite whoever wants to go first to just share briefly what you wrote down. And what we're going to do is listen, and we can go around like round robin style. And each person will ask a question about what was shared. And everyone will notice the questions. Like, when the person who's sharing their situation or story will not answer the question, but you just take note of the question. So of course, this is an exercise in awareness and powerful questions, and in listening, what gets evoked. It's interesting to see. Is this clear? Everybody? Okay. Does anybody want to share their personal story, situation? Anybody want to go first? And then when we'll be listening, and then just you can share a question that you have. There's no right or wrong aside from this being confidential, safe place. So we're just accepting and curious. I'm just reading the chat. Okay. Thank you, Sally. So who wants to go first?
I'm happy to go first.
Okay.
My challenge in life is my daughter-in-law and who she is. And the history we have has not been always pleasant. Very challenging. Enough said.
Okay. Thank you. And so just invite those who want to, somebody who wants to go first and ask a question to Diana.
I would start off with Diana, tell me what you mean by challenging.
Thank you. Who else has a question for Diana?
I'm toying between two. I'm going to go with who do you want to be in this relationship with her?
Thank you.
Nice. I would say, how would you like it to be different?
And I've got one. When you're talking, what's coming up for you on the inside when you're talking about your daughter-in-law?
Thank you.
My question would be, deep down inside, what is this all about?
My question would be, what needs to change to make this relationship work?
If there's anything else floating around in your orbit, please feel free to share.
Diana, this is Christine. My apologies again, but what I would love to ask is, why is this so important for you to have a relationship with this person? And is it in fact, sorry, I just lost it, but it's basically like, what's the meaning behind wanting to have a relationship? And then defining what that relationship actually is for you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone. So what was that like for you, all of you and Diana, to get those questions? Did you notice anything about the questions? What happens when these questions get asked?
Certainly stirs me up. Mm-hmm. That's familiar territory with this situation.
It's amazing what happens when a question gets posed. You know, it's like you could feel it, like something opening. Mm-hmm. And I know personally, I can feel questioning can be very challenging for me, you know, because I could feel like I want to ask, there's some question that can do it. And sometimes I don't personally feel that that's the, like, I'm looking for the question, but it doesn't come. And after hearing all these, I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. such a medley of questions that can go to so many different places and how we each bring something unique. Beautiful.
Yeah, I noticed that too, the variety. And the other question I was toying with was around the relationship, like, what do you want that relationship to look like? And so there were so many different, the variety is the different components, the looking at the person, you, Diana, individually, looking at the relationship, the dynamic, looking at the actions. There were a lot of different components to it. I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. Different levels, like we talk about the who and the what and coaching, you know. You asked, who do you want to be? Then it was, tell me about the situation, like tell me what you mean by even challenging, different ways of unpacking, different areas of focus. So does somebody else want to share? Let me just invite Mara to come in. So who else wants to share? Welcome, Mara. Welcome. We're doing an activity around evoking awareness. We're in competency seven. And so I've asked to think about a situation that's current for you on your mind. And so somebody's going to share a situation or experience. And then what I'm asking is for us to think of what question do you want to ask that person about this situation? What question comes to mind? And so the person sharing their story will not be answering it, but we're just doing an exercise in questions. So does somebody else want to share their situation, story? Christine H. Thank you.
It's actually the issue I was coached on a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I can't remember who coached me. Was it you, Christine? Or so anyway, doesn't matter. It was about my brother. Thank you. Well, just very, very briefly, I've got two brothers. The middle brother just doesn't seem to want to have any contact with my father. He just seems just to be keep his distance. Wonderful dad, no idea why. Well, we had my father's 90th birthday on Saturday, and my brother's two children couldn't come because he'd only just told them the day before that it was happening, and yet I'd sent a save the date on the 1st of January. So the ongoing issue of this brother who just seems so callous and uncaring towards my father, elderly father. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. So whenever you feel like a question has emerged, please feel free. Holding all of your intimate sharing with heart. So thank you, everyone, for your vulnerability.
Christine, what would be the most gracious extension you could give to this brother as to the reasons behind his behavior?
I have to ask you, Christine, did you say courageous?
Gracious. What's the most gracious extension that you could give, not knowing, of course, what his motives are, but what would be the most gracious mm-hmm. motive that you could extend to why he's behaving this way?
Yes, Anne?
Oh, I'm curious. What would it be like if you didn't have to think about that brother anymore? What would it be like if all you did was focus on how much you love your dad, and you sit there with your dad, and that's your world, what would that feel like?
Thank you.
What do you need to forgive yourself for, Christine? I guess maybe something less directive, by the way, would be, what are you willing to forgive yourself for?
Are you ready to let go?
I'm not sure how to phrase. I have a lot of different thoughts on this. And Julie, can I jump in on?
Yeah, go for it.
Question: is this about presenting? Is it? Maybe it's for Christine. I don't know. Is it about the conversation or about what Christine you want to happen with your brother, or is it about, like, I think I'm I need clarification on, would it help you with your brother or help you with your father? So there's a multi-dynamic piece that I'm a little thrown by. So I would have to dig deeper before really asking a particular question. And I don't know if you want to address that.
Are you asking me or are you asking?
I don't know.
Well, I'm hearing that you're hearing something that already you've asked a question about.
Yep.
And
so maybe that's it. So Christine, is this more about your dynamic relationship with your father or more about the expectations or relationship with your brother? Perhaps that addresses it.
Thank you. I think we need to meet every day at this time and have this exercise for everyone. anybody else?
I would want to ask Christine, what is it she really needs most to say to her brother to help her let go of this?
Thank you. And I saw your hand.
So, you know, when you throw a big party and you send out the invitations and you make sure you've included everybody you can think of, you know, like the brother's kids get their own invitation. Everybody gets their invitation. And then you kind of let it go, and then you throw your grand party, and whoever shows up was meant to be there, and whoever doesn't, you really don't give a hoot about, because they missed out on a great thing. And so I'm just wondering what it would be like to kind of take that step back to see it with a little bit of, you know, kind of taking the blood relationship out of it and treating it like you're throwing a party for just people you know and people you've met and whoever. And then you know you did your part, and whatever they choose to do is completely up to them. I'm just wondering what that might do for perspective.
Thank you. Any more before I turn it back over to Christine?
So could I try this one? I'm noodling. So Christine, what is I'm clearly tired today. I'm really sorry. Okay, Christine, so okay, I don't have it, but it's around the notion of love, Christine. So let me just say that, what if loving your father as you means exactly what you're doing in supporting him and taking care of him? And what if loving your brother meant just let it go? What would that be like?
Thank you for honoring the time that you needed to ask that question, Paulina.
Yeah.
You did tell us you were tired and grateful at the beginning of the call, but you still managed to be very, very coherent. So Christine, and others who want to share too. What did you notice with all those questions landing?
I have to say they're all very good questions. I've written them all down and very, very helpful. Very helpful. They did provoke awareness and thinking, especially the one, and I have to say, what am I willing to forgive myself for? You know, so it's, I can't change the external stuff, obviously. But yeah, I think I will reflect more on them. They did provoke awareness, I have to say that. It's given me a whole different perspective, lots of perspectives to think about, especially on the heels of what happened on Saturday again. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing and trusting. It's like this image of, since we're in the notion of metaphors and analogies, like there's the situation in the dark. So this dark room. And then as each question gets asked, like the light keeps getting brighter. It's like, you know, hearing the switches, and it's beautiful to just be a witness to it, you know, from this perspective, how powerful a question can be and how different they each are from all of you. And there's a lot of what questions in there. And yeah, thank you. If somebody wants to do one, we can do one more and then we'll take a short break. Does anybody have a personal reflection, situation, story they would like questions asked around? Suzanne? Sure.
My mother-in-law died recently. She had COVID, and then because she was already 89 years old, and after COVID she had a fall, and then she fractured her hip, and they in the hospital did surgery, and then the next day her heart gave way, and then within 5 days she passed away. We cremated her the next day, we had sea burial the next day, so it's all finished within 7 days. And the saddest thing is, she's the sweetest mother-in-law you can ever, ever have, because she is generous, she's kind, she's always helpful, she's always there for you. And my husband calls her Santa Claus, because she's always giving things away to the neighbors, to strangers, to everybody, even to people she meets in the market. So, you know, it's like, this kind of came to me because the sea burial was very different from what I imagine. You know, when I watch Korean dramas, the sea burial is when you throw the ashes into the sea, you know. But here, everything, after cremation, everything was in a cardboard parcel. And the person whom we worked with will just take you out in a little ferry into the sea. And then what you do is you lower this parcel into the water. And because when the cardboard gets wet, it's going to sink, right? So you will see it bobbed away. And then after a while, you will just sink to the bottom of the sea, I suppose. So here you are, you know, 89 years old, nearly 90 years old. You've done so much to, you know, and you've given so much away. And then what is death? So it's like, how do you handle it? How do you prepare yourself?
What are you feeling right now?
Sad.
Thank you for sharing, Suzanne. I'm sorry for your loss. And do you feel complete around what you want to share and ask questions around? Okay. And so we'll just be asking questions. So just allow them to be there. I can see we all feel with you and for you. So thank you for taking the space. I see Paulina asked, what do you feel now? Who else would like to?
Suzanne, thank you so much for sharing such a deep and very, very painful topic. How would you find out what you need in order to begin to process this?
What are you learning about actually, what are you learning would be my question.
Suzanne, this is Christine. It seems to me that the tradition and the difference between into the air and bobbing and going into the sea were two different things for you. So my question for you, Suzanne, is there another way that would make more sense for you to honor such a wonderful woman that you're willing to do?
Thank you.
Yeah, I was thinking of a variation of that. First of all, it's a beautiful, that's a beautiful ceremony and way to really appreciate someone. And in terms of your question with, you know, what is death, which is ultimately what your question is, I would love to go deeper with what is it for you? If it's not that, what are other ways to define it? And a follow-up question, how can you keep her spirit with you living on?
Thank you.
Suzanne, I am wondering how you also honor yourself at this time.
Does anybody else have a, oh, Anne, go ahead.
So have you tried to talk to her at all in your dreams or anything like that? I'm just saying that because I talk to people on the other side. That's what I do. I just put over here, I wrote a book too, in case it might help. And it's just so wonderful to know that sometimes you can talk to people on the other side even more than when they're on this side, because you don't even have to pick up a phone. You can just have a chat in your head. So I've got more friends on the other side than I have on this side right now. So it's just comforting, you know? So just something to think about, because thinking of that little box dropping into the water is really hard. But knowing that she's still around and with you and still her loving, wonderful self just can be a wonderful thing. So just something to think about.
Thank you, Anne.
Yeah.
So Suzanne, did you take in those questions? Did you notice anything?
I jotted them down, yeah. It's worth reflecting, I suppose, on all these questions. Some of these questions, I never thought about it. Like Anne's suggestion about you talking to, you know, talking to her on the other side, which is, I suppose it's got to do with the way we've been brought up, because we are not spiritual that way, you know. Like there are some ancient villages in China where they speak to spirits, trees, but Singapore is just a very, very busy city. So nobody has the time to sit down and do things like that. So if we were to, like, for example, you want to go to sleep and do things like that, and if your children hear about it, they're going to say, "Mom, you're crazy." So it's just, I would definitely, because of all the questions, I think yours is likely the one I will think about most. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because I think, yes, you know. Because the other question about remembering her. Again, because Singapore, we don't have land. So we don't put her, that's why we don't put her ashes in an urn and put it into a temple or somewhere. And if you were to want to remember her, then you will want to visit her at that temple in front of the urn and put flowers and all that, which again is something I watch on movies all the time. But in Singapore, we don't have space for things like that. So the only way we do things here would be to, yeah, either scatter the ashes into a garden or into the sea. So remembering her probably is not quite feasible, because I don't know, if I want to, I suppose I still can think of ways to do it.
Yeah, I can see that you have things to reflect on and that are now percolating.
Thank you for all the questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody,
for
your questions. And thank you, Suzanne, for sharing and your trust, and as well, Diana and Christine, for your vulnerability and everything that you've shared is very moving and touching. And so thank you, every beautiful coach here, for bringing your brilliance and sensitivity to your questions. And let's take 3 minutes. I know it's not long, but enough to just close and come back and do what you need. And then we'll continue until the end. Thank you, everyone. All right, welcome back, everyone. So, I have a question, though we can unpack the subcompetencies a little bit more, or we can do another exercise, which is about self-awareness. And I'm not going to make everyone happy here, but I'm just wondering, is there a majority, though I'd love everybody to get what they want, is there a penchant towards let's unpack the competencies more, or do you want to do a self-awareness exercise? You could put it in the chat. Exercise? Yeah, exercise? I'm getting exercise. All right. So either, thank you. Okay, I'm going to share with you 15 strategies. Wait, no, this is the book. I think the book is called, I did this exercise when I was a participant in Deeper Conversations Coaching. You may have done it before. I found it extremely memorable. So these 15 strategies are designed to help you maximize self-awareness to create positive change in your life. I believe it's from Emotional Intelligence 2.0 by Travis Bradbury and Jean Greaves. And so I'm going to go through these, and I'd love to hear if any of these resonate with you. Maybe choose one or two. Any of these resonate or create awareness for you or give you a new idea or a perspective shift. And so I'm going to go through the list. I'm going to write them. I'm going to read them to you. And maybe I'll just read them once and then I can read them again. And so just see which one maybe you have a charge around or a physical connection to, like your body says something when I say it, or you're curious about it, and choose one or two. It could be three, whatever resonates for you. And so this again is from Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And so here's the first one, and I'll continue. Quit treating your feelings as good or bad. Observe the ripple effect from your emotions. Lean into your discomfort. Feel your emotions physically. Know who and what pushes your buttons. Watch yourself like a hawk. Keep a journal about your emotions. Don't be fooled by a bad mood. Don't be fooled by a good mood either. Stop and ask yourself why you do the things you do. Visit your values. Check yourself. Spot your emotions in books, movies, and music. Seek feedback and get to know yourself under stress. What are your thoughts? What might be difficult to do or not? What do you see you do naturally? Would you like me to read them again?
Please.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question?
So yeah.
The original question was about what resonates, but then your question at the end was about what, I forget exactly how you phrased it, but what do you already do relative to... And so to me, those are two very different
questions. Okay. So whichever you want to answer, I appreciate your listening. I would say, you know, because resonate, how does it resonate? It could resonate because you're doing it, or it resonates because you're not doing it and you're curious about it. So I would say, which one feels curious to you? Which one feels like it could be, you know, you like that because you do it and you want to be reminded, or maybe it's something you don't even know about. Like, which one for you just stands out for whatever reason, and maybe you'll share that. Does that help? Okay. Quit treating your feelings as good or bad. Observe the ripple effect from your emotions. Lean into your discomfort. feel your emotions physically. Know who and what pushes your buttons. Watch yourself like a hawk. Keep a journal about your emotions. Don't be fooled by a bad mood. Don't be fooled by a good mood either. Stop and ask yourself why you do the things you do. Visit your values. Check yourself. Spot your emotions in books, movies, and music. Seek feedback. And finally, get to know yourself under stress. So who wants to speak to maybe one or two that stood out for whatever reason to you, which would be important?
For me, watch yourself like a hawk and get to know yourself under stress are really
important. Your video's not on, Pauline. I don't know if that's intentional or not.
No, it's not.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah, but you heard me, right?
Yes, exactly. Watch yourself like a hawk and?
And get to know yourself under stress. So I've often thought after the fact that, you know, I really want to catch this before I open my mouth, not after. Anyone had that issue?
Right? Yep.
It's like, what the hell did I just create here and why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm almost there. I'm almost to the point of, okay, this is going to be a practice because I haven't, you know, I've just voiced it, but I haven't voiced it as, oh, here is a practice for you. But in hearing this, I can see that's what I need. I need a practice. Mm. I don't know what that's going to look like, but it has to be repetitive for me to actually learn more and more about that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Awareness created.
Yeah.
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 Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Alyssa, I see your responses. Do you want to speak to them?
That was partially accidental.
Oh, okay.
I was sort of taking notes as you were going, and then I'm quick return. Okay. But that's fine. There were more than two. So, you know, thinking more about what resonated rather than what I'm already aware of or that I check in on, you know, are those. So, you know, the reminder to feel the emotions and allow that. Physically. Yes. The physical.
Yeah. Physically. Yeah.
Because, you know, I think keeping it internalized is, I've noticed over the years, really, it's not a healthy release. So mm-hmm. The physicality releases, you know, keeping a journal, that's something I started 20 something years ago and have been encouraging my 12-year-old to do as well. So that truly can make a difference, and not to go back and read it the next day or the next day, really let it sit and read mm-hmm. it, you know, at some
point. Nice.
Checking yourself, I think as coaches, maybe I'm speaking for myself, maybe for more, that it's a constant.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeking feedback. I love feedback. So,
well,
as long as, you know, there has to be a kind of a right way to deliver, but yes, I do appreciate feedback.
Nice. Thank you for your reflections. Yep. Yes, Suzanne? Oh, we'll go to Suzanne and then Monica.
Julie, can you elaborate on feel your emotions physically?
What does it mean to you when you heard that?
I can't put the two together.
Okay. Does anybody want to speak to that?
I'll actually You know, Suzanne, when you were, sharing your experience with your mother-in-law, mm-hmm. I actually found myself, you know, I lost my mother many years ago. So there was a stillness as well as a tightness that formed in my gut and in my chest. And I recognized that as sadness. And it was the awareness of, you know, I also need to release. I need to breathe. Mm-hmm. And not keep it so tight in my center. And to me, that was, that's how I was feeling my emotion of sadness for you, with some empathy as well. And releasing then lets the other emotions happen. So a little bit of tears, mm-hmm. you know, just a little bit of other emotion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know if that helps, but.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thanks. It helps.
I'd like to offer something, Suzanne. So just to piggyback on Alyssa, if you think about your emotions living in your body, that's the physicality part of it, right? Because they don't live in our heads. Because if they lived in our heads, we wouldn't do some of the things we do, right? That, so they live in our body, and when, and they're there to also think about the fact, or be open to the fact, that they might be there to teach us something, right? That there's something there to be considered, right? So in the case of your sadness with your mother-in-law, like, what do you do with that? How you said that, right? What's death about? And really, it's, what do you do with that, right? And the body has its own wisdom. And I know that we live in cultures where, you know, everything from the neck up is what really matters, but that's not true. We're whole beings, right? It's our minds, our emotions, our moods, lots of things. So that's the way I think about emotions. So that they're my friends, good, bad, or otherwise, and they live in my body, and they're there for a reason. So I focus on them and ask the question, "What are you trying to tell me?"
Hmm.
When that's important. There are other questions, but that's an example.
Beautiful. Thank you, Paulina.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Monica, you wanted to share?
Yeah, I was going to say, know who and what pushes your buttons. That was really heavy for me in that sometimes, even when I know, I can't do anything about it. So other than prepare myself to endure. And I do, you know, prepare myself to endure, but it's a bummer because I know it's a button pusher and I'd rather not have to, but you know,
mm-hmm.
it is what it is. I'm not looking to change it because I think it's a valid button pusher. You know, other people probably get their buttons pushed by that same kind of thing.
Hmm.
So maybe learning to live with it is a good thing.
Hmm. And with awareness, that might become less challenging, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Awareness, that's the whole endureness.
Mm.
You endure because you are aware and you know what, you know, gear you need to put on to deal with it. If it's the fake smile, you know, or the whatever, put on the tune out, turn the volume down, but you really look tuned in.
Thank you for sharing that. That one really struck a chord. So we don't have time to go to hear from everyone around this, but I just encourage you to take this with you. And to see how that impacts you know, with this awareness, how that impacts your own process of learning about yourself and actions forward. We're going to be winding down. And so just want to thank you again, everyone, for your honest, vulnerable, and wise shares and questions and reflections. It's really meaningful, and appreciate you all. Thank you for coming together. I did ask you, you know, to maybe set an intention for how you wanted to feel by the end. So I'm just curious if you want to share where you're at, and we have 3 minutes, so maybe just take like 30 seconds each. I didn't do the math, but I'm just assuming that'll get us to the end. Hopefully not too much over. And if there's anything that you're taking with you, and then we'll be meeting for those who are joining on Wednesday to hear who's coaching. Alyssa's coaching Monica. And then if you're not going to be here Wednesday, then welcome you back on Monday for facilitating client growth, which I think will be Anne. So who would like to begin?
I will, before I forget.
It's me on Monday. Okay. You go ahead.
So I wrote inspired when you asked what would you like to be, what would you like
intention
to feel at the end, right? And it was inspired, and I am walking away with inspiration. The exercises were really great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Paulina. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I'm taking away a new awareness that our whole body is involved in awareness.
Nice. Thank you.
I share the same feeling with Christine.
Nice. Thank you.
I'm taking away that same thing, and very interested in spending more time in the somatic training.
Beautiful.
I want to thank you, Julie, for really bringing awareness to awareness. Your deep center has really helped us all go deeper. So thank you.
Thank you, Anne. It's a pleasure and a privilege.
I'm in love with that exercise we just did. I actually have the book. I can see it. And so, and I just want to say, like, to me, it was a great, like, just reading that through and inviting essentially any client to just say which might physically resonate with them. Or I just think it's brilliant, actually.
Great. So glad you have the book. Maybe flash it in front of us if you can, or if you want, you don't have to, but you know, it'd be fun to see. I've never read the book, though I probably should. I think she's going to get it. Okay. Wait, you're on mute.
Can't see her.
It also has a little quiz in it, like a free quiz. Yeah.
That's where the exercise.
Hold it up for the author, please. What's the author? Who's the author?
The author's name, Travis Bradbury and Jean, JeanGreaves, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. I think it's hysterical that the Dalai Lama's on here. Obviously I'm not quite sure what it is, but the reason I bought it years ago was I wanted an inexpensive way for clients to take a test that was super actionable for any coach to use. And it does, but literally Ken Blanchard, Stephen Covey, like everyone has endorsed this. It sure looks like Strength Finders to me, by the way.
Yeah, it does. Thank you for bringing that. So it's 1:30. It's a minute after the time. If anybody has to leave, go ahead. But I'm going to stay here so we can complete the circle. And you have to leave. Thank you. Who else would like to share? Christine, too.
Lots hope
you
feel learning. Better.
You can put it in the chat. Lots of learning.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Monica.
A lot of new stuff.
Good. I appreciated everybody sharing their situations, their examples, and giving all of us permission to share questions and powerful ideas, and I just appreciate that greatly.
Thank you. I think we've covered everyone, right? Thank you, everyone. So, such a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to seeing you next time, Wednesday or next Monday. Bye. Bye. Two hands. Have a good day and sleep and everything else. Bye.